Case number 23-7160, A Energy SA Appellant versus Republic of Angola et al. Mr. Levy for the appellant, Mr. Aaron C. for the appellate.
Mr. Levy, wait till the courtroom clears. All right, good morning.
I believe I can go higher. May it please the court. Vincent Levy for the plaintiff, A Energy SA. This case concerns was brought in the District of Columbia District Court and seeks repayment of a debt. The plaintiff had energy contracts with the Republic of Angola and in state instrumentalities. Contracts were terminated, and at that time, the plaintiff had performed substantially more work than it was ever paid for. By this action, the plaintiff seeks repayment of those amounts. The district court found that it had jurisdiction over the case under the direct effects clause of the commercial activity exception to the FSIA. It also found that jurisdiction in Angola would be lacking because of a jurisdictional time bar that had now elapsed in Angola. The court nonetheless dismissed the case on the basis of forum nonconvenience in favor of Angolan court, principally relying on a decision by the New York federal courts concerning a broader case in which the plaintiff had sought damages and other remedies for the termination of the contracts. We think in view of the finding that there was jurisdiction here and no jurisdiction in Angola, that the court's reliance on the New York rulings and its fresh analysis of the forum nonconvenience factors was legally erroneous. And the court also erred in its FNC analysis in failing to hold the defendants to their burden of proof on each of the factors.
You say there was jurisdiction here and no jurisdiction in Angola, meaning I missed that latter.
Right. So below in our complaint, we allege that our claim was jurisdictionally time barred because there's a 180 business day period to bring a claim for damages in Angola. That is,
the district court didn't hold that it was time barred.
The district court credited our assertion that it was time barred.
That's assumed without deciding.
Well, so the Second Circuit assumed it. The district court here used the word credited, whether that means assumed or found. Either way, that's at page A127. We had made the allegation in the complaint that it was time barred. That's at page paragraph 59 of our complaint. We substantiated that with legal authority and a declaration. The Angolan defendants did not dispute the point in their opening papers. They submitted a declaration on reply that we moved to strike as untimely, and which the district court declined to consider. And in its decision, the court said at A127, that it was crediting the assertion that the claim was subject to a non-waivable time bar in Angola, a mandatory one.
Why didn't Energy include other claims that it brought in SDNY in the case here?
We thought that would be precluded under the doctrine of issue preclusion. We thought, consistent with upon refiling a case that was previously dismissed for FNC, the doctrine of issue preclusion, not claim preclusion, applies. And we thought that if we filed obviously the same claim, that would be the issue of forum non would have been decided, and the motion, the prior disposition would have been issue preclusive. But cases such as, I think all the cases we cite, such as the JSC Renfro case, the Conflict Kinetics case out of the Fourth Circuit, Wright and Miller, I'll say that if there are material distinctions between the issue between the forum non-convenience issue in case two and in case one, then the prior ruling is not issue preclusive. I think that standard is common ground. And by narrowing our case, which is what the plaintiff did in J.C. Renfro, we felt that we addressed the concerns of the New York courts. And we also felt constrained to file it here because, as the district court found, there is jurisdiction, and we could not bring a case for any remedy for the unpaid work claims in Angolan court.
So the claims in the Southern District of New York, there were 8 claims, and those were all arising out of the same transaction or occurrence, in the sense of there was a some activity by your client. It was not remunerated for that activity.
I think that's right.
And so now when Energy brings only, as a formal matter, the contract claim, isn't the preclusion analysis the same? Because the question for preclusion purposes is, I mean, the question for forum nonconvenience is, can the subject matter of the case that is filed here, whether in New York or in DC, be brought in Angola? And the transaction or occurrence at issue in New York and the transaction or occurrence at issue here are the same, even though only one legal theory is advanced here. And so the question then becomes, can that wrong that your client allegedly suffered find a process that will address its subject matter in Angola?
I think that this court in several decisions, including the Marianne, make clear that in the situation where if a plaintiff would prevail on its claims here and obtain a relief, any relief, if that in that situation, but if in the other form, were it to prevail and establish the same facts, it would obtain no relief, then there's no basis for subject matter, for a form nonconvenience dismissal. The court, and this is at page, it's 315 F3rd 390, court said, this is a quote, "We fail to see how an alternative form in which the plaintiff can recover nothing for a valid claim may also be deemed adequate. It would be peculiar indeed to dismiss Nemeriam's, the plaintiff's claim, in the United States District Court, a form in which, assuming the court has jurisdiction, she is certain to be awarded full relief if she wins on the merits of her claim, in favor of a form in which she has no certainty of getting any relief for a meritorious claim." The subject matter of this case, the one we filed in the District of Columbia District Court, is about whether A Energy was fully paid for the work it performed. That was a very small subset of the matters at issue in New York. The SDNY and the Second Circuit made clear in their decision that the case was about whether the termination was proper and whether it had been wrongfully procured through fraud by General Electric, through torts. Those were the issues that the Second Circuit and the New York and the federal court and the SDNY focused on.
Factor in about claims you could have brought in any one of the jurisdictions, because some of the discussion essentially criticizes strategy and forum shopping, et cetera, in that you all are not pursuing the same actions or claims that could have been brought in the first instance in Angola. We are now, you know, just coming to this hearing left with this one page order, or actually an excerpt from the order that is 222 pages and in Portuguese. And so we don't have a way of knowing what actually happened without this translation. And that particular translation and order was also not before the district court. So two questions there. One is about what you could have brought, you know, in terms of you bringing different things in different forms, but what you could have brought in Angola. And then secondly, how do you feel like we are able to proceed here now that we do have something from the Angola court?
Right. So a couple of responses. One, there are decisions from this court and the Supreme Court that make clear that forum nonconvenience is inapposite if there's no other forum. And and it follows also that the reason why the other forum is unavailable is not relevant, and Norex makes that clear.
Okay, and that could be two things. One is not available because the remedy is not available, or it could be not available in this instance that they've already ruled, and so the case is over, so you can't go back and reopen the file, if you will.
That's right.
So help me along those lines.
And I think that was the situation in Norex where, if I remember correctly, there was a prior decision, I believe in Russia, the Second Circuit case, and the court said, if the prior disposition has a bearing on the case, on the new case, it would be potentially as a matter of issue preclusion or some other claim preclusion defense on the merits, but not as a threshold abstention type dismissal. So that's one point. I will going to, I think Judge Childs, you mentioned, of course, this new development that, apologies for not providing the full translation, I obtained a copy of it last week. Needless to say, 200 pages is long to translate in 1 week. The point though is, now that the case is over, that case in Angola, the basis for the district court's disposition can no longer stand, because the entire adequacy ruling rested on the fact that a case could be brought in Angola, namely one that was proceeding. And so, for example, at A125, the court notes that the Second Circuit hinged its ruling on the reinstatement. That's at A125. And the court did so again at A127. And with that case now over, our view is, because of the unavailability for jurisdictional reasons of any claim in Angola, reversal is in order, because there is no forum in Angola where this claim could proceed, or any claim for relief for unpaid work. But at a minimum, there ought to be a vacator and remand because of the development. And if the court isn't prepared to reverse, and it should, because the issue of adequacy will just come right back up, at a minimum, it should vacate for consideration of the effect of this new development.
So there was, the claim in New York was a claim for unpaid work.
There was a breach of contract claim which alleged a breach of contract. There were multiple paragraphs in the cause of action.
The way the court understood it, and you pleaded it in New York as a claim for unpaid work, no?
No, the primary remedy that we were seeking was for lost profits on account of future work that wasn't performed. We had, I believe, three or four lines in the cause of action for breach of contract that also said we also perform work that we weren't paid for. But the primary remedy that we sought in terms of damages was for lost profits, for the taking of property by Angola of namely turbines that were worth $100 million. So I think we estimated the damages in the prior case at $500 million or so. I believe the unpaid work is in excess of $100 million. So most of the damages were for lost profits, as far as I can remember. And that's certainly what the court analyzed. And the Second Circuit, as the district court here said, the adequacy ruling hinged on the fact that a reinstatement remedy was being sought. That is a remedy for termination of a contract, not for work that was done and not paid for. The termination order itself said that it was without prejudice to the settlement of account, meaning that whether the termination was valid or not, there would be a settlement of account. In the first instance, my client sought to exercise its remedies under Angolan administrative law, similar to the FERC case the court just heard, to have that order reversed. That's a process, a streamlined process, to have an administrative law claim heard. Typically, when this court hears administrative law claims, it doesn't get damages actions at the same time for lost profits. That's the same, in my understanding, in Angolan court. And so it first sought reinstatement. And when that failed, my client filed a case in the United States, in the SDNY, against GE, against Angola, for lost profits, seeking damages for the termination of the contracts, as well as the unpaid work. That was dismissed. And we, just as if a case is dismissed on a threshold issue, like, for example, for lack of diversity, and there's, because the parties are not diverse, you drop a party and make it diverse, we refiled the case and included only the claim that was not addressed in the prior, expressly in the prior loss, in the prior disposition.
Was the basis of Energy's claim for unjust enrichment in the Southern District of New York in part the fact that Angola benefited from and didn't pay for prior work?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. What I will say is, again, that what was briefed, what was argued, what was decided was all about termination. I think the Angolan, the defendants, the appellees here, acknowledged that the issue of the unpaid work was not separately addressed in either the briefing or the decision of the Second Circuit.
I'm just looking at the Southern District of New York complaint, which alleges at paragraph 242, through the conduct set forth herein, the Angola defendants gained goods and services from plaintiff in power generation output and services without providing compensation to plaintiff for said output and services. So it seems like this is about it encompasses this question that is the focus of the case here.
Counsel, excuse me, please stop shaking your head. That's improper.
I apologize.
Go ahead.
I believe similar to the contract claim, it would be probably encompassed in the unjust enrichment claim as a mode of relief. The focus of it, though, again, was the termination and a taking of these turbines that was discussed in the prior case, where we alleged that there was a fabrication of documents by a former executive of General Electric, who has been since indicted and is standing trial in the SDNY in November, that there was a fabrication of documents and that this was used to take turbines. That was the focus. I think similar to the breach of contract claim, a subset of that claim potentially encompassed the unpaid works that we're seeking here. Again, in terms of what was actually decided and what was briefed in terms of the foreign nonconvenience analysis in New York, in the Second Circuit, the focus was on the termination and the taking of property and the justifications that were made for it. This is an entirely, again, entirely different case, this case, that seeks a payment for work performed. We know the amount of money that my client received. That's in documents, $644 million. And the question is whether it received more or less than that amount. We claim that Angola received more than $644 million. And that claim could not have been raised in the Angolan Supreme Court, was not raised in the Angolan Supreme Court. And of course, the Angolan Supreme Court has now ruled. So there's no pending claim in Angola. And the court below, again, credited that the claim was time-barred in Angola and that no relief could be sought. And the district court below acknowledged that the ruling of the Second Circuit hinged on that. The court said at page A125, the Second Circuit relied on A Energy's pursuit of equitable remedies in finding that Angolan courts could address the essential subject matter of the dispute. Equitable remedies reinstating the contracts, and that's what the court there, the district court is referring to, citing the Second Circuit, do not address at all whether the subject matter of the dispute here, which was there unpaid work that was not compensated, and a positive remedy, positive solution, a positive resolution of the factual disputes would not provide any remedy, just as in the Marion.
So if you were to have to go to Angolan court, like putting aside this case and under the Second Circuit's forum nonconvenience holding, is it your position that Energy could get monetary compensation if it were to win an unjust enrichment claim? Could it get monetary compensation for the unpaid work?
No, I think at this point, the 180-day time bar lapsed. It lapsed, it's 180 business days, so it lapsed.
That's for the contract claim, but I'm asking about an unjust enrichment claim.
Right, the only, as far as I know, and this issue was not addressed below, the way it was briefed in the Second Circuit, we argued that the only procedural vehicle to obtain any remedy in a contract dispute is under this provision of the law, this procedural vehicle that provides a 180-day period. And so our view is there is no viable path for any remedy under any theory for the unpaid work in Angola. And I think the district court below proceeded on that basis.
That's not how I read the district court proceeding. I thought it was talking about that it was assuming that the contract claim per se was subject to that. I thought that was what you argued.
Well, I think at page A125 and again A127, the court relies on the administrative appeals that were filed challenging the termination. And A125 is the issue preclusion point, and A127 is the fresh look. In both of those points, the court relies on the administrative appeals that challenged the termination. And that's the basis that the court invokes. It says, the court says, A Energy submits this claim as barred by a non-waivable limitations period. That's at A127. The court credits this allegation. Even so, it does not follow that Angola is an inadequate forum. Then there's law about providing the plaintiff some remedy. It says the court joins the well-reasoned decisions of in New York. Angolan courts provide A Energy with a remedy for its contract disputes. A Energy filed administrative appeals challenging Angola's termination. And then it goes on to say that we sought reinstatement, which is all true, but it doesn't get to this point, which is that a remedy of reinstatement for termination, which by the way has now been denied, so it's not available now to the extent it ever was, does not address the dispute we have here, which is for unpaid work, and does not even concern the same subject matter of the dispute. It's just entirely different matter whether the administrative agencies, the president of Angola, abided by the law in its ruling. And I think we set forth, we have our petition, which is what the Angolan court relied on. The court has a translation of that. That's an entirely different matter as to whether in a civil suit, the plaintiff can prove that beyond the $644 million that it received, there's work that's worth more than that. Those are entirely different matters. And Angola has not argued otherwise. Angola has said that the Angolan petition in Angolan Supreme Court does include a request for compensation. That's, as we say in our brief, that's contrary to the position that its lawyers said below under oath. Angola said that the limitation period does not apply. Of course, that would be affirming on a different ground because the court below credited that that it did apply, that it was non-waivable. And Angola doesn't substantiate that argument other than pointing to a reply affirmation that the court below disregarded. And so there's really no support for the reasoning of the district court. And Angola also comes up with this new argument for the first time on appeal that we self-sabotaged our own case because Judge Cronin in New York proposed to conditionally dismiss the case if on a waiver by Angola of limitation period, given that the court, well, that argument was not made below, so it's improperly raised, but this court, if it were to affirm on that ground, would have to reverse or would have to not adopt the reasoning of the court below because the court below said that the limitation period was non-waivable. So a waiver by Angola of a limitation that is non-waivable, it wouldn't have solved anything, and there's no so-called self-sabotage.
Mr. Levy, can you just fill us in a little bit on the role of the ICSID arbitration? You know, Ricardo Machado, the owner of your client's owner, has filed a claim against Angola in ICSID under the Portuguese-Angolan treaty. What's the status of that? What's the conduct that's at issue there?
My understanding is that that case concerns the taking of turbines, so there isn't overlap as far as I'm aware. I also understand, and in terms of the status, I believe that the two parties have selected arbitrators, and the two arbitrators are in the process of selecting a chair. And I understand that Angola, in that case, is disputing that the treaty applies and that there's jurisdiction under ICSID. At least that's what Angola has said in in the letters I've seen in which Mr. Machado, who's the shareholder, makes a claim for compensation under the ICSID treaty.
Although they have nominated an arbitrator.
They have nominated an arbitrator, and I think the arbitrator would decide the jurisdiction question.
I was sort of surprised when I first started reading the papers in this case to see that there was an arbitration clause, but that nobody had sought arbitration. Can you just put that into context for us?
Right. So we did not seek arbitration. First of all, there are 13 different arbitration clauses in 13 different contracts going in a number of different directions. The defendants below and in New York asked for arbitration in the alternative. We opposed that on the basis that of numerous reasons, and the district court below did not reach the question. Some of the arbitration clauses point to Portugal, others point to Angola, but even the ones that point to Angola also provides an alternative that the arbitration could provide elsewhere under certain rules. I believe that we proposed to resolve this forum fight with my friends in Angola by proposing an arbitration in London, which is a neutral forum where the facility, where Angola had agreed to arbitrate certain disputes under the credit facility, and that offer was rejected. But
this is going ahead where?
I actually don't know where it's going ahead, the ICSID arbitration. I apologize. I'm not a counsel of record in that proceeding. I do know that Mr. Machado and other former employees of A Energy have do not wish to travel to Angola for fear of their public or their personal safety, and that would be for court or arbitration proceedings. There were submissions to that effect below, which were credited.
As to the recent Angolan Supreme Court decision, you're not arguing that the fact that you lost that dispute has any bearing at all on the analysis in this case.
Well, I think that the fact that that has now been disposed is an alternative basis for this court to vacate. And
why?
Because again, the analysis of the court of the district court on adequacy, and that's page A127 and A125, hinged on the availability of and the proceedings that were going on in Angola at the time of that decision. Now that those have concluded, those do not provide a basis for a forum non-convenience dismissal. I think Norex makes the point, as I mentioned in response to a question by Judge Childs, that potentially a disposition by a foreign court may be issue preclusive and could give rise to an issue preclusion defense on the merits, but it would not provide a basis to abstain in favor of another forum. And similarly, it would not provide a basis for forum non-convenience. And given that the reasoning of the court here relied on that decision, relied on the pendency of the Angolan proceeding as a basis to find Angolan court adequate, now that those proceedings are over, the reasoning itself, which is what the court would review.
I'm not seeing, I may be misremembering, because there are a lot of different decisions in this case, but I thought what the court relied on was that you chose to go to the Angolan court for at least part of your disputes with Angola. But your position is that that's a separate dispute. And so I'm just not sure that a merits loss, what light it shows. You chose to go there, you didn't prevail. What light does that show on either the preclusion issue or the fresh forum non-convenience analysis that we're being asked to make?
Well, I think our first argument is, because putting aside, is that in a way that was, this was all irrelevant because the proceeding didn't concern the termination proceedings below, so the court should reverse. If that argument's rejected, of course, or if the other arguments we make are rejected, our view, based on this recent development, is that the decision below should be vacated to consider the effect of this decision, because there are, of course, a number of issues were tendered for disposition below, but the adequacy ruling in part, and that's again A125, which is the adequacy ruling on the issue preclusion, under issue preclusion, that hinged on the pendency of the reinstatement case. So in the middle of A125, This is in the context of the issue preclusion discussion. It says the Second Circuit did not consider, it said it was sufficient for the Second Circuit, right, that A Energy was before the Angolan Supreme Court seeking reinstatement of the utility contracts. That's no longer true. And so that was a key factor for the district court to hold on issue preclusion that Angolan court was adequate. And then on a fresh look, which starts at A126, the court comes back to it on A127, and that's the passage I pointed the court to earlier, which references the pending administrative appeals challenging the termination. Those are ongoing. And so given that the court, this court reviews a form nonconvenience for abuse of discretion, if the factual predicate for the decision no longer obtains, I think the proper remedy could be, would be a vacater and a remand. But again, given that there's a legal error here in terms of inadequacy of the Angolan form, given the non-waivable time limitation, we think the court should just reverse as a matter of law, just as in Damarian, which is what happened there, where there is no remedy abroad for the claim brought here. There can be no dismissal on form nonconvenience. Damarian says that. The Supreme Court in Gilbert, which sets forth the original standard for form nonconvenience, makes clear that form nonconvenience is about providing a basis for deciding between two forums. And when there's obviously when there's only one forum, the doctrine has no application. It's a venue provision. It's not a merits-based analysis.
All right, we'll give you a couple minutes in reply. Let's hear from Mr. Ehrenstein.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. Mike Ehrenstein on behalf of the Angolan defendants. The sole issue really presented by this family of cases is whether or not the district court in this district, or in New York, or anywhere in the United States for that matter, is the appropriate forum in which to adjudicate this uniquely Angolan dispute. We have an Angolan plaintiff. We have Angolan defendants litigating over Angolan contracts, negotiated, executed, performed, terminated, all in Angola, under Angolan law, and all using the Angolan national language of Portuguese. The answer to the question presented was no in New York in the district court. It was no in the Second Circuit. And we submit it should remain no here today. Now, in the district court, in this case, the plaintiff filed suit, A Energy filed suit, saying, I'm owed money because I have not been paid for work that I've performed and services that I've delivered. And the plaintiff claims, the appellant claims, that that is much different than what had previously been argued in the Southern District of New York and in the Second Circuit. We respectfully submit that the appellant is wrong. The case in New York specifically included, although it included other claims and other parties, it absolutely included specific allegations that the appellant had performed work for which it had not been paid and that it had lost millions and millions of dollars as a result. Judge Cronin considered that argument and the Second Circuit considered that argument. And by the way, they considered that argument in the context that is being raised again today and which was raised again before Judge McFadden, saying, but we don't have a remedy. We don't have a remedy because we're time barred in Angola. Now, we don't agree with that. And the record shows Our experts contend that it's really a 20-year statute of limitations and not a 180-day statute of limitations. But even if you credit the argument that there is a statute of limitations which bars prosecution of this claim for damages in Angola, that is not the same thing as saying there's absolutely no remedy available, and therefore, at least for form non-purposes and for purposes of collateral estoppel. The court specifically noted that there was a remedy available and that it doesn't have to be the same remedy. You don't have to have the identical type of claim available, the identical type of damages available. There was a remedy available and it was being pursued at that time.
Mr. Ernstein, is there any precedent that an alternative forum is adequate when the plaintiff brings a claim for money, for damages, and the alternative forum offers only non-monetary equitable relief?
There is, I don't know, I don't want to misspeak, Your Honor, and say that I know that there is a case that says exactly that if I'm not positive. But what I can tell you for sure is that the Second Circuit considered it and specifically held that the availability of a remedy in Angola was sufficient. And that is because the Angolan case was dealing with exactly the same essential factors that were in dispute. So, which gets us back to Judge Child's question about what, if anything, is really the impact of the Supreme, of the decision, the recent decision by the Angolan Supreme Court. That is not of record. It is not completely translated, and we have one page of a 223-page ruling. What I have been informed is that that ruling expressly says that although the terminations were proper, the terminations of all of these contracts and rescissions were proper and affirmed, there is a pathway for A Energy to pursue a claim for damages if it files a separate lawsuit in Angola. It certainly doesn't say pursue those claims here in the United States. What we would request, and I know it's perhaps procedurally unusual, we would like an opportunity to see a translated version of this Supreme Court ruling, and we would like a few days to highlight for the court the paragraphs which specifically say, yes, you have this claim to go and proceed in Angola for your damages.
And then I'd be curious as to whether or not the claims with respect to damages were ever brought up, you know, like contractual damages or equitable damages in Angola, because just listening to what you just cited to us about being informed that although the terminations were proper, there is a pathway for Energy to pursue the damages, it makes me believe that there was some discussion on the record, at least.
There was.
Okay.
If I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's what I'm getting at.
Yes, there was, Your Honor. In fact, in the complaint in the Supreme Court, which is part of the record.
We're talking about the Angola Supreme Court.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, just want to make sure we're in the right court.
Yes. In the complaint in the Angolan Supreme Court, which is also a very large document, there are paragraphs within that complaint in which the in which A Energy specifically alleges, by the way, these terminations have harmed me. By the way, these terminations have resulted in me, in A Energy, not getting paid for the services it has provided. And A Energy specifically alleged, we reserve the right to be able to pursue that at a later point in time. That's in the complaint. My understanding of the recent ruling is that the Supreme Court of Angola acknowledged that and said, although these terminations are correct, if there has to be an adjustment of the accounts between the parties, because by the way, I think Angola claims that it's due money back from A Energy, that that has to take place in court in Angola in a separate lawsuit. So to get back to the issue presented, because collateral estop, because it is the same case, the same transaction or occurrence, as Judge Pillard had been asking about, the same issues, the issue of forum nonconvenience that was decided by the Southern District of New York and affirmed by the Second Circuit, does collaterally estop the renewed prosecution of that claim here. Now,
Does the public interest analysis, is it affected? You say that the balancing of public and private interests is the same in this case as in New York, even though the contract claim before us doesn't allege wrongful termination of the contract. It's really looking at what happened before termination. And you say, well, the defendants will rest on their justification for terminating the contracts, and that's the same evidence. But I don't see how a valid termination would relieve Angola of any obligation it may have to pay energy for A Energy for work that it already had.
I think we agree. Angola is not, Angola's position, or Angolan defendant's position is and has always been since the date of the termination. If there's an adjustment of the accounts between the parties that needs to take place, it must take place. That was in the president's decree, and it was affirmed now by the Supreme Court of Angola saying that that has to take place. Whether Angola owes money back to A Energy for its services and goods that were not paid for, or whether A Energy owes money back to Angola for overcharging for services and goods that Angola never received, that's an issue that has to be adjusted. But for purposes of the Supreme Court decision in Angola, it said the termination of was proper.
But you don't think that that difference, that the narrowness, the relative narrowness of the case before us changes the public and private interest balancing?
If any,
that was done in the New York case, such that we can't say it's the same issue here, were we to be analyzing this under preclusion?
If you look at it under preclusion, I think it has, there's no objective facts that are materially different in terms of the private and public interest. If you take a fresh look at it, finding that collateral estoppel does not bar the claim, and you look just at forum nonconvenience separately, the private and public interests are largely the same as in the New York case, but even more so, what tilt now more in favor of the Angolan defendant's request for forum nonconvenience dismissal. And the reason we say that is because in the New York case, there were other parties that did have presence here in the United States. There were certain witnesses which may have been present here in the United States, and there were documents and related claims that were commingled that were here in the United States. Here, there is no interest that this court should have or can have in the solely Angolan dispute, which is going on here.
Haven't you just argued yourself out of preclusion? It doesn't matter which way it cuts, but if the issue here is different, then why would we rely on preclusion? You seem to there be leaning into a fresh forum nonconvenience analysis, but are you thereby abandoning your preclusion analysis? And it sounded like you were.
No, I hope that is not the message that I'm delivering. What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that preclusion applies and bars the claim. However, based on the...
Can you just say the public and private balancing is different?
I said if you take a fresh look at it, if you say that you're going to ignore preclusion and not apply it, then under a fresh analysis, it would be largely the same, but more so in favor of the Angolan defendants.
Under a fresh analysis, it's your burden to provide the district court with sufficient evidence to determine that an adequate alternative forum exists.
Yes.
What evidence did you provide to the district court in this case?
Well, there was a couple of things. First, that we had incorporated and relied upon the decisions of the New York court.
But you didn't provide the evidence you provided in New York to the court here for its own evaluation.
We ultimately did. We did provide an affidavit or a declaration of Enrique Abacasis in support of our motion to dismiss, which spoke about where the witnesses are and where the documents are and the language and the convenience.
That's not about the adequacy of the Angolan.
That's correct. Yes, Your Honor. With respect to adequacy, argued
I'm not aware of you ever having provided any evidence on the adequacy of the Angolan forum, or even asking the district court to take judicial notice of the factual record in the Southern District of New York case. You asked for judicial notice of legal proceedings in Angola.
Yes.
But I'm not aware of any place, and if you could point me to a place where you did, but I'm not aware of any place where you asked the district court in this jurisdiction to take judicial notice of the factual showing in the Southern District of New York record. So I'm not sure how we could do a fresh,
Your Honor,
form non-convenience analysis here, given your burden.
You are correct that there is no specific language within our briefing saying, please take judicial notice of the New York case. We did at the inception of the case identify the New York case. I'm sorry, at the inception of the district court case here, identify the New York case as a related case and highlighted the fact that even the appellant had indicated that it was substantially related and when it filed its motion to stay, substantially related parties and claims and facts. So that is the extent of the request for judicial notice. There wasn't any formal judicial notice request. However, when we briefed the issue in the motion to dismiss, we argued, based on the arbitration clauses that you focused on earlier, that the burden on form nonconvenience and adequacy was, and on everything, had been shifted as a result of the Atlantic Marine analysis. When you have a forum selection clause, which an arbitration, we contend that our arbitration clauses here are a species of forum selection clause.
But that's only when you've selected the particular forum that you're then proceeding in. That doesn't have any application to a third forum. Like that would render adequate the arbitration forum.
Which we did ask the court in the motion to dismiss originally, that was in the motions to dismiss here and in the motions to dismiss in the New York case, we did ask for the court to send the cases to arbitration based on the arbitration clause.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were making this point based on, is it Atlantic Marine?
Yes, because of the burden shifting that occurs when there is a forum selection clause that we did not produce evidence and declarations and refer to the record in the New York case at that time because we felt that our burden was being sustained by law when there was a...
Because there was an arbitration clause.
Correct.
And an arbitration clause is a form of foreign selection clause.
Yes, ma'am.
But there was no forum selection clause selecting Angola.
There was a forum selection clause that was almost identical in all of these contracts. The excerpts of...
It didn't select Angola.
It Well, it did. It selected Angolan law, and it gave two different Angolan arbitral procedures that could be followed.
But you
it didn't say venue.
I'm maybe missing something obvious, but you weren't asserting that this case should go to arbitration.
We did.
I didn't read your brief as saying, oh, put aside whether the Angolan court system would be adequate because everybody has to agree based on the arbitration clause that an arbitral form would be adequate. That's
right.
What I hear you to be saying now, but I didn't understand you to be making that argument in your brief.
I was not. So let me try to clarify. The argument to dismiss and refer the cases to arbitration was made in our motion to dismiss. The court chose to rule only on the form nonconvenience and collateral estoppel issue. When it made that choice, we argued that the arbitration clause changed the burden for purposes of form nonconvenience. And it changed it from us having to bear the burden of demonstrating adequate alternative forum to the appellant having to bear that burden. And that in almost every case where there is a valid forum selection clause, that burden is borne, is satisfied. Then afterwards, because you were asking about whether we submitted anything else, after after appellant filed its response to our motion to dismiss and said, yes, but you haven't filed anything. At that point in our reply, we made reference to all of the declarations that had been filed in New York. Those declarations were submitted, and A Energy moved to strike, saying that this was new argument being raised on reply. And Judge McFadden never reached that issue. He said he's denied the motion to strike as moot. But we did put in record evidence of the adequacy of the forum as well as convenience factors. With respect to the adequacy of the forum, I would point the court to the declarations of Professor Diamvatu, who wrote at length about the statute of limitations and its effect.
All right, if there are no more questions, where is the arbitration being conducted?
I don't know. I'm not counsel, but it's my understanding that it's going to be conducted here, but I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't want to monopolize your time. If you don't have any other questions, thank you very much for your attention.
Right. Madam Clerk, if you'll give Mr. Levy 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. A few things. First, I do think there is effectively a concession that issue preclusion does not apply. And on a fresh look, the court must look to the evidence that was submitted. There was no evidence on adequacy. The evidence of the other factors was lacking. And a mere citation to the findings of the prior court on the assumption that issue preclusion does not apply surely cannot be enough on a fresh look. Now, my friend says below and here he relied on the arbitration clauses, and he cited in his briefing the Dahman case, for example, from this court. I think it was an unpublished decision. The court there looked at an arbitration clause through the lens of the form non-commutative analysis, but the motion was to go to arbitration. And here, the motion is to go to Angolan court, and the court below did not reach the arbitration arguments by the party. That's at A135, footnote 6. With respect to the reply evidence that was submitted, we did move to strike it untimely. And as my friend says, the court did not consider the motion to strike, because the court declined to consider the evidence. And therefore, so far as the motion record is concerned on a fresh look, there is no evidence. And under Deb of the Seventh Circuit case that we cite, that's not good enough. This court's decision in Simon, there was a similar deficiency in Simon versus Hungary that Your Honor authored. There was a similar deficiency on some of the factors with respect to some of the evidence. With respect to the Angolan Supreme Court decision, we think the court should address the arguments we've raised as they are stated, and that the timeliness issue was properly tendered, and that a reversal is in order for that reason, and that to the extent the Angolan Supreme Court decision has further bearings, that could be for remand, if anything. Thank you.
Thank you.